Okay. There's a very fascinating question that the Maharal asks. There's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, "The Noshim b'may zachya." What is the source of the merit for women? Rashi explains the merit for women they should be able to get Olam Haba. And the Gemara gives three answers. Which is interesting, Gemara, what the three answers the Gemara gives. And he has a question based on that, which means he's going to understand this Gemara not with the simple understanding of the Gemara, because if you read it, understand it simply, there's going to be a real problem in the Psukim. So the Gemara says three answers. The Gemara says, first thing is that their excuse is that they bring their children to learn Torah Shabbat, and they let their husbands go to learn Torah Shabbat, and they wait for their husbands to come back. Rashi says that they're even willing sometimes to send their husband away to learn to a distant country and wait a few years till he comes back. That's the most. That's their schus. Right, so, like, that's the only schus that women have. That's it. But the morale is a different problem. He says, I don't understand. If that's the understanding of the Gemara, we have a problem in the order of the Psukim. But at the time of Matan Torah, Parshas Yisroi, he says, "Kosomar the Beis Yaakov b'sagid l'vnei Yisroi." So it mentions the Beis Yaakov first, it mentions the women first. So the Maharal says, I don't understand. If the women's whole role is just this supportive role, and that's their whole school that they're supporting, which is what the Maharal seems to say, so we would expect the men to go first, because the main point is what the men are doing, and the women are also getting the schools because they're supporting that. But if you put the women first, indicates that the women have merits which stands on its own, other than the fact that they're playing a supporting role. So now I'm confused. He says, what does the Gemara mean that the women's schus is the fact that they're supporting if the pasuk puts the women first? That's the morale's question. Very interesting question. It's also very interesting is that Gemara, a line before, in the same Gemara over there, the Gemara says, the Gemara brings a pasuk that talks about noshim shananois, women which are relaxed. The Gemara says, gedol avtocha shenemeres lenoshim, the guarantee, the haftacha, the guarantee which is said to the women is greater than that which is said to the men. And the Mephoreshim say it's referring to from the flow of the Gemara, it's referring to the whole topic of the whole Gemara talking about Olam Haba. So women are more guaranteed to get Olam Haba than men are. Right. The Gemara says, so we seem to say that there's some advantage that the women have over the men, which seems to be a freestanding advantage greater than that which the men have. Okay, we're gonna hold on to those two questions, and let's talk about Rosh Hashanah for a moment, or a little more than a moment. Okay, there's a pasuk in Nehemiah, which is brought down in Halacha. The source for that idea that Rosh Hashanah is a festive day for us really seems to be difficult to understand. We know it's a day of judgment. And the lives of all of us are in the balance. A person is in the middle of a court case for not even capital punishment, but tremendous issues. He's very tense. So what exactly are we doing? Having a nice Yom Tov Suda, and there's a halacha, you have to be happy. This seems to be difficult to understand. So the Gemara says it's based on a pasuk in the Chemin. In the Chemio, there's a story there that Klai Yisrael came back up to from Babel back to Eretz Yisrael, and they undertook to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. They had a small group of people. It was difficult. It was difficult, and it came time for Rosh Hashanah, and they realized they were in a situation where they're not sure where they're going, what's going to be. They were depressed. Rosh Hashanah itself was a time of din, and they were concerned what's going to be. Where's Klai Yisrael going to go? So the Baruch Hashem sends a message through Nehemiah. And the message is, go tell Klai Yisrael that ichlu mashmanim, eat fatty food, eat good foods. Shesumam takim, drink sweet things. I'm going to skip the next four words. There's four more words in the middle. And then it says, kichen bas Hashem him uskam, that which you're going to celebrate in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that'll be the strength for your din. If you're wondering how you're going to be successful in din, the fact that you're going to celebrate and say, well, it's a day. Hashem is showing his authority over the world, his kingship over the world. If you can celebrate that concept, that itself will be the strength that you'll be zeichah b'din. So don't worry, things are going to be good. But there's four words in the middle. It says, again, it says, go and eat well, drink well, and sends portions to those who don't have anything prepared. Make sure everybody has good. Everybody has food. So Rav Huttner Zatzal wants to know, why is this pasuk bring up Shalach Manos? My wife says to me, don't talk about Shalach Manos. I have no problems with Purim and Shalach Manos. Imagine if dinner Shalach Manos. There's dinner Shalach Manos on Rosh Hashanah. Why is the dinner Shalach Manos Einochonoi? What is the flow over here of the pasuk? Why is that important here in the pasuk to talk about the concept that part of Rosh Hashanah is the idea of sending portions to those who are not prepared? Rosh Hashanah is a day of din. This is Rav Huttner's point. Okay, I'm going to bring it out a little bit. Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. And Hashem has a concept of judgment. But let's think about the idea that Hashem has din. Let's think about that idea that Hashem has din. We know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Racham, etc. Why is the idea of din? Din is such a scary thing. We sit there and we're weighing in the balance. You know, it's so scary. Rabbi Orlovsky does his whole rendition of, you know, the chazan singing, die, 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 we're all about to die, why? How does it fit with our picture of the Kodesh Baruch being Racham? He says, we're missing something. The concept of din, we're missing something. We seem to look at it out of context. Let's go back to basic Jewish philosophy 101. Why did Hashem create the world? He created the world because he wants to give to human beings. So great, create Olam Haba, and just pour it on. Right? What do we need this whole process of Olam Hazeh? So Kadosh Baruch Hu uses an approach that people prefer that which is theirs. We enjoy something, a handout doesn't taste good. A person works hard and makes something their own, they enjoy it. Right? You all have the scenario, you can go to the store and buy it. I don't want to go to the store, I want to make my own. It tastes better if it's my own challah. Tastes better, right? If I can't, I can't, but I prefer doing myself. Especially my wife, right? Right? So, Chazal say that a rutz on a mekav shaloi, metisha kabin shachaber. I'd rather have one of mine than nine that I get from you. That's how much you prefer our own. So I don't want a handout, I want it to be mine. So great, so Bershon says, okay, go to this world. Now, but imagine if we go to this world and everything is, whatever we do, it's okay. So at the end of the day, it's still a handout. So the whole concept of din, really, he says, is a way to enhance the chesed. Because we have to earn it. And we judge, did you earn it, did you not earn it? That's what the judgment is about. But that is all just a way that we feel good that we got it. At the end of the day, we earned it. It wasn't just for free because, maybe yeah, maybe no. So it comes to the whole concept of din. The whole idea behind din is really rooted in chesed. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu Olam Chesed Yibone, a world of Chesed, Kadosh Baruch Hu created. Rosh Hashanah is Brias Olam, or at least Brias Adam, which for us that's like Brias Olam. That's the day where human beings now start interacting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in that day, that the Chesed should be the consummate Chesed. There's a concept of Din, because that enhances the Chesed. But the end of the day, the root of the day is not din, the root of the day is chesed. And we should never forget that the root of the day is chesed. So comes along the Chemins and he says to Klal Yisrael, if you want to be part of this world of chesed, because we're going to create a world of chesed, you want to be part of this world of chesed, great. If you're part of the world of chesed, you belong in this world. If you're a person that has no shaykhus to chesed, you're in the wrong universe. Right? This universe is a universe of chesed. So if you want to know what's going to empower you for the Yom HaDin, he says, what's going to guarantee you for the Yom HaDin? What's going to guarantee you for the Yom HaDin is A, that your glory in the authority of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Chedvas Hashem, that you have Chedva in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's your Ma'oiz, that's your fortress, and you're part of you partake of the world of Chesed. You do Chesed also. You make sure that everybody has. You don't focus on yourself, you focus on the people around you. That's going to be the source of the schus. So it's, Rav Huttner takes this point and he says, and he stresses that if a person is not involved in chesed, it's not possible for him to be zayche b'din because he's on the wrong train. This is a world of chesed. There's a gemara of Avodah Zarah. The gemara of Avodah Zarah says, "Kol misha and oisik b'gemilas chesedim is dama kemisha ein lo eloka." If a person is not involved in gemilas chesed, he has no god, because the god that we relate to is a god of chesed. So if you want to be a person who has no connection at all to that world, so it means that you're not in the right religion. Okay. There's a Gemara in Tainus. Fascinating Gemara in Tainus, I'm sure. This somewhere in your experience, in your seminary experience for sure, your high school experience, you've come across this Gemara. Right? The Gemara says a few stories talking about the of Gemilas Chesedim. And the Gemara over there says a story, there was a story about a person named Abba Umna. Abba Umna was a makis dam, he was a doctor. And he did a lot, many different chesedim, and he used to get a greeting from Shemaim every morning. There used to be a greeting, every morning, "Good morning, Abba Umna." And the Gemara says, one of the Gedolei Amoraim, he only got once a week. So it says, so he got every morning. I only get once a week, so he's greater than me? Yes, because of the chesedim that he did, the Gemara says. Then the Gemara says the story, the Gemara continues and says that there was a husband and wife team who were very involved in doing chesed, and they used to do a lot of chesed. They used to do it, they would try and do it matan b'seis. One of the ways they do it, they would drop food by people's houses and then run away. Well, one time the guy, he knows every week there's this package coming. So he wants to know who it is. So finally he heard the item being dropped off, and he runs after them. So they run, and they're running, and they're running, and they're running. And he's going to figure out who it is, and he's going to be embarrassed. So they decided that it's better they should go into the kivshin, Aish, not to embarrass somebody else. So the husband and wife run into this burning oven. And the Gemara says that the husband's feet started getting burnt. But the wife, she says, "No problem, put your feet on mine. Mine are okay, and everything will be fine." So that's what he did. The Gemara says, why? Why was she ahead of him? Because he would do chesedim with money. She would do chesedim with bread. And bread is more ready to use than the money. So her level of chesed was a greater level of chesed. Then he would come to the house, and she would make sure that they would have what to eat. Interesting. There's a loch in Hilchos Shabbos. This is a parenthetical point. The Lachos Shabbos, we bake bread the Kavod Shabbos. Why? Because it's better to eat Pas Yisrael on Shabbos. You should make sure at least whoever you do during the week you use Pas, which is not Pas Yisrael, but on Shabbos you bake your own bread for Shabbos. Lachos Ezra Tzofer was Tikkun, they should bake it Friday mornings. Why? Because this is where the Neim would come and be bread already, ready for them to come. So I mean, that's the thought process, that it should be ready. Okay. So now, if the whole world is the world of chesed, and even the concept of din really is just another layer of the concept of chesed, and the person who is connected to the world of chesed is in, and the person who isn't. So let's go back to the Gemara, that Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, "Noshem b'maizach," and I think we have to understand it in another layer. I want to define chesed a little better to understand the Gemara. Revolva has a fascinating sefer, Ali Shur. So Ali Shur and Ali Shur Chelev Beis, he has a series of vadim, Musar vadim, that he actually led with his Talmidim. And they would pick different topics of the Midas, and he would give them exercises, and he'd give them a Musar, like an idea behind it, and then an exercise. And they would go out, and they would come back. And you have the vadim recorded there, actually, how the conversations went a little bit, at least very very briefly, after they would come back from their exercises. So in the chapter about chesed, he starts with the following. He says, the concept of chesed is not doing chesed. The first concept of chesed is avas chesed. He says, okay, so what is avas chesed? The first thing is you have to learn to understand other people. He says, for the first 2 weeks, we're not going to do any chesed. That's not the goal over here. The goal is to think about other people's needs. So what do I want you to do? I want you, for the first 3 times a day for the next 2 weeks, you meet somebody that you come into contact with, you go into the bank, you go into the postman, somebody that you meet during the day, think about what are their needs. Think about their needs. Don't do anything. Just learn to get attuned to other people's needs. Okay, so 2 weeks pass, and they come back, and they make the report. And he says, lo and behold, all of the reports were, I guess, most of the reports were that the people had the exact same needs that we do. We noticed other people have the exact same needs as ourselves. He says, you know what? You didn't notice anybody else. You just noticed yourself. You took your own self, and you projected yourself into the rest of the world. You didn't really get the other person. You didn't really get him. He says, that's not chesed. The godless of chesed is to get out of your mind into somebody else's mind and understand what's on their mind, what's going on with them. Godless in Klal Yisrael is the ability to do that. I want to share with you a story. And this is elements of the story, which are personal. I can have all the elements of the story, but Rishiva Gifter told me many years ago, I don't know what the conversation went, what the topic of how we got to the conversation. He says, I hold to the square Rebbe. I hold to the square Rebbe. He says, why? He's a person who went prematurely gray for the Tzoras of Klai. So, the person who does that, that's somebody that I hold. That's what Sheba was told us. My wife and I, this is in the summer of 1986, went to the square Rebbe for just get an Eitz about a certain thing, get a bracha. The Rebbe gave us an Eitz, gave us a bracha, etc. We followed the Eitzah, and there was tremendous pichus and godless in the Eitzah. We had the Rishiva Reb Chaim also. Reb Chaim Stein tells the Rishiva, said the exact same thing. They both said the same thing. We followed their Eitzah. There's tremendous siyata d'shmaya in what they said. We were in contact with him again, Pesach time, and then again the following summer. So now it's 1987. The year 2004, so we were twice by the Rebbe, and I spoke to him to the Gabbai by phone. During the year. Okay, that's 1987. In the year 2004, Rabbi Mendelowitz takes the 7th and 8th grade to New Square for a Shabbaton. So Motzei Shabbos, the boys go into the Rebbe Motzei Shabbos, and the Rebbe is very nice, and he takes, gave him like 45 minutes. Each boy got a few minutes, he spoke to him in English, and shmoozed with all the boys, and then he sat down with Rabbi Mendelowitz. He wanted to talk about the yeshiva, gave him a donation to the yeshiva, like, you know, it's backwards, you go to visit there, he gives you a donation, gave a $200 donation to the yeshiva Greater Washington. And he asked him, like, what's the tunity like, who are the Bayim there, etc. He goes down the name of the Bayim, and he says, Elio Rangel. Oh, I have a friendship with the Elio Rangel, he says. I'm Yedidus with the Elio Rangel. Now, yeah, I was there in 1986 once, and I was there in 1987 once, right? And I haven't been there for 17 years. He remembers my name. Now, I think to myself, you know, if you're anywhere but familiar with the world of Hasidim, during Yamin the Royim, every Chassid, if he can, comes to the Rebbe. So you're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people walk through that door during Yamin the Royim. So I'm thinking to myself, we were by the Rebbe in the summertime. But I would have assumed by the time Yom Kippur came by, he didn't know that I remember my name. There was a literature guy who came to him in the summer, spoke to him, you know, no, I remember me. It's 17 years later. So I'm a little bit embarrassed. If we have a friendship, I'm supposed to visit, you know, keep up my friendship. So my wife and I went up, took Thanksgiving, my wife had off. I didn't have off, but I took off. We went up to Muncie for Shabbos. Thursday night, I took my son, and we went into the Rebbe. Now I'm a litzer, I'm a mechutzah, and I did something which I can't imagine any chutzah would. They would probably would chalish. They heard what I did. So I go into the Rebbe, and I say my name. The Rebbe recognizes the name, and I says, the Rebbe remember why I came. Now that's a chutzah mamish, like you know, it's a chutzah mamish. So he stops for a second. He thinks, and he says, you know, in a questioning voice, but he said the correct answer. Is it for this and this reason? And that was the right answer. And I said, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I didn't say it, but I thought to myself, I'm overwhelmed that this person can remember hundreds of thousands of people walk through his door. He remembers my name, why I came. And I'm not even his chassid. I'm somebody who is, you know, letter shayakol, who walked through the door. How is that possible? The answer is because he doesn't live for himself. He lives for other people. And when he's... His focus is not himself, it's other people. The Rabbeinu Yoina has a fascinating aura. Revolba has a fascinating aura about Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina wrote a sefer called Sefer Hayira. And Sefer Hayira is basically goes through what a person should do from the time they get up in the morning till they go to bed at night. That's all it is. It's no musar. It's basically halachic oriented, but he's, you know, prodding you towards doing everything properly. And in this Sefer Hayira, so Revolba has the aura. If you read the sefer, you realize that when Rabbeinu Yoina daydreamed, he daydreamed about a Kodesh Baruch. What do we daydream about? Ourselves. If you think about what happens when we daydream, we think about something around our own being. So as you realize, you look at the Rabbeinu Yoina, that he daydreams about a Kodesh Baruch. Now I have to point out that it's not obvious in the Sefer. But if you're a person who that's how you live, you notice it in the Sefer also. It's a telling comment about Revolba also. So godless in Klal Yisrael is the person who doesn't daydream about himself. Godless in Klal Yisrael is that a person, when he daydreams, he's thinking about, what can I do for somebody else? That's what his daydream is. The nature of the person is so compelled, is so focused outwardly to other people, and not to what do I want, and what should I get, and what is it all about me, etc. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yeshua, okay, you've been appointed to become the leader of Klal Yisrael. I mean, picture that. This 3 million Yidden, the Am HaNivcher, they're coming into Eretz Yisrael. You're the leader. He says, you know what I'm giving you? I'm giving you Avdus. I'm giving you that you are now are an Eved. But you're not Stam an Eved. You're an Eved to 3 million people. There's a Gemara, which is you think about the implications of this Gemara, it's overwhelming. We're going to say on Yom Kippur the Sarugim Malchus. So the first two of the Sarugim Malchus are, we mentioned, is Rishmo Kohen Gadol and Rebbe Gamliel. Rebbe Gamliel, this is actually Rebbe Gamliel HaZaken. The famous Rebbe Gamliel was three generations later. This is Rebbe Gamliel HaZaken, who took over the Nesiyas from Yechim and Zakeh. He's immediately after Korban, he's the person who took over after Korban Habayis. He has responsibility for Klal Yisrael. And he's taking out for this horrendous Misa. And he's introspective. And Rishmol says, Achi, why are you introspective? Why are you, you know, sad? He says, I'm wondering what I did wrong that I deserve this. So listen to Rishmol says answers to him. Rishmol's the Kohen Gadol, says, is it possible that one time a woman came to ask you a question and you said to her, wait one moment, I want to eat something. Is it possible that ever happened to you? He says, yes, it happened one time. He says, now I feel better. I understand why I deserve what I'm getting. That's, what is the Gemara saying? That the Gadol of Yisrael, he's the Nasi Hador, he's the Nasi, with the covet of a Nasi. He learned the whole day. He came home, it's 11 o'clock at night. He hasn't eaten supper yet. And somebody, the phone rings, and he says, no, just give me one second. I just want to take a cup of coffee for a moment. Can you mind waiting for a minute? Oh, you deserve this Misa Mishuna. That's what the Mora say. And he feels better now, because now I understand why I deserve it. It makes sense. Because God is in Klal Yisrael is to serve somebody else. And an Eved can't say to the master, excuse me, I want to take a coffee first. So there's a medrash, and this is an overwhelming medrash. The medrash says that when it comes to the din, we're asked two questions. We ask, Himlachta es Tornecho, did you make a Kadosh Baruch Hu your king? Himlachta es Chavirecho benachas ruach. Did you make your Chavir your king? Benachas ruach. We might do it because you might give in, because that's what we have to do. But benachas ruach, happily. That your whole being is. I was thinking back to the square rabbi. I mean, I don't know what his schedule is like. He learns 18 prokem of Mishnayos a day. He does, I think, 7 vlada gemara a day. He sees people. I mean, it started at 11:30. And he knows it goes past 1 or 2, he's still seeing people. Then he gets up early in the morning. You know, they daven late. That's great, they daven late. The first he gets up in the morning, he goes to the mikveh, and he says, Sefer Tehillim. He says, Sefer Tehillim. And then he daven Shacharis. He walks around with the weight of Klal Yisrael on his head, and if there's people waiting, as long as there's people waiting in the waiting room, he doesn't go to bed. And there's 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, 40, 50 people. He doesn't go to bed because there's people waiting. The Baruch, the Gemara is saying that the Baruch gave a haftacha to the women because the Baruch made a nature, the women have a nature that they want to take care of somebody. And that idea of putting somebody else first before themselves comes naturally to them. That ability to be mamlich somebody else and put somebody else's needs before themselves comes naturally to them. Where the woman can say, I'm a brilliant woman, my name is Beruya. I'm a brilliant woman. But what's my godless is I take care of my husband, I take care of my children, I'm able to put aside what I would like to have for somebody else. That's not weakness. That's godless. That's what a Golub Yisrael means. Whereas for a man, that doesn't come easily. The verse says, for a woman, that's guaranteed. It's a haftacha. The Russian made the nature of a woman, that she has that nature. She wants to be a mate to others. And she can focus on somebody else. My Shrikas al Gutenstark Zion is European to the nth degree, in the sense of like this musig of pleasing. My Shrikas has a joke. About that generation, it goes back a few generations. One of the Jewish communities used to say this, and my father used to believe that the fatter you are, the healthier you are. Right? It says, my father was so healthy, he couldn't even walk. My Shrikas Hanoah is watching somebody else eat. I finally learned after I got married, after a year or two into the marriage, she would come to Yom Tov, and she would, my Shrikas, those who know my sugar, picture this. Those who know my wife can picture my sugar. It's my wife on steroids, I think is the right way to say it. So my sugar has like an average of about 4 or 5 main courses in her meal, plus about 5 like side dishes. And she's serving, and she's serving, and she's serving. And we're eating, reading. She comes out, Ellie, you're not eating anything. Yeah, Shkoya, yeah, I already had 2 rounds, So I finally learned I have to wait till she comes in. And then I eat, because this way, her hanoah is watching me eat, not eating. Her hanoah is watching me eat, so I want to give her hanoah, so I wait till she comes in. Alright? So she comes to us for a visit, and the next time we go to here to Silver Spring for the summer, we notice that downstairs in the bathroom in the basement, so the soap is the soap that we use at home. The tissues that are the tissues that we use at home. The toilet paper, because her mind is on, well, I went into Ellie's house, and that's what he likes, so I'm going to get it for him. Like, that's automatic by her. That's how she thinks. And there's such a thing as anybody ever coming and not enjoy, say, I don't like this, and getting it served to her the second time. Next time they'll come, 3 years later, oh, you didn't like this last time you came, I made something special for you instead. Because she noticed it. Because she lived to notice somebody else's needs. That's her hanoah. Her hanoah isn't eating, her hanoah is feeding. Right? Jewish mother par excellence. Her no is feeding, Right? So Chazal say that's a tremendous godless. If a person comes to Yom HaDin is a day of chesed. It's a day where we're defined, as much as we're shy to the world of chesed, we're in, and if not, we're out. This is Rehutna's first mimer on Rosh Hashanah. This is the message of Nehemiah to Klal Yisrael when they're sitting rebuilding Bayis Sheni. Okay, this is the message, Rabbi Yisai. If you're in the world of Chesed, you're in. If not, you're out. So at the Gemara, I can tell you that Noshim have a Haftacha more than the men, because the Noshim are willing to say, go, 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 go learn, go do this, I'll take care. There's a Gemara in Ksuvus, just end with this, end this part of the share, but there's a Gemara in Ksuvus. So the Morak Suba says that, again, brings a pasuk. They take responsibility for the family, and they allow their husbands to become a Tamid Chachamim. And that itself is going to be their schus to come to Olam Haba. And I remember you speak to them like, that's all women have. I mean, I look at my wife, my wife is a lot more than that. But that nakuda of that putting somebody else's needs first and noticing somebody else's needs and noticing how they look at something and how what they want and what's important for them comes naturally. And that's a gewaldig haftacha that women have. I think it's a gewaldig haftacha women have. So getting back to the original question. So we're going to say that the pasuk says Kosher Leves Yaakov Sagal Ben Yisrael. The women go first. Well, if the whole gallus of the woman is that they're hechatim for the men, so the main thing is the men. No, that's not the point. The woman created a world of chesed. That's first. You Matan Torah is into a world of chesed. Women create that world. And that world that they create, now we can give Torah into it. Now the men will go learn. But first you have to create that world where it's possible that the world of the Baruch Shalom is a world of chesed that the women are going to create. And that goes first. Okay. Some thoughts as some of the women are not necessarily going to make it to davening, not necessarily going to make it to what they're used to over the years, you know, getting more opportunities to daven and etc. They're sitting and playing Rummy Cub, you know, with their kids on Rosh Hashanah. You know, that's Rosh Hashanah, Yamadin, you know, the world is hanging in balance and I'm paying Rummy Cub, you know, like playing Patsy with the kids, you know, on the floor. That's Rosh Hashanah. Like, you know, Rosh Hashanah, you listen to the shmooz, you know, you got to sit there and muster, you know, we're going to live, we're going to die, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm busy playing games. I'm busy changing diapers. That's it. It's batuach. The women don't have the problem. The men have the problem. Gedol haftach shen eretz hanoshim. But gufa, that they can put aside, what I would like to do right now is go daven. But somebody have to take care of. So I'm going to put that first. That itself is the biggest chus that a person could have. Tremendous thing. Okay, I just want to go through a few different points which come, you know, halachic issues which come up for women over the Yom Neroim. Let's start with the Torah Sedarim. We'll go from the Torah Sedarim. Go quickly through Yom Kippur. See if we can come in. So Torah Sedarim, a woman makes a neder, is chayv in a neder just like a man. And if a person is over a neder, that's a very chumradic thing. So women are chayv in Torah Sedarim just like men are chayv in Torah Sedarim. Now, Torah Sedarim is a process where you go in front of a bezin, which has to be three men, and you declare whatever actions which you've done, which you do not intend to be, become the binding as a vow. You didn't really mean that. And they declare that they declare that is so. A woman can appoint her man as a shliach. So the woman should tell her husband, "I would like you to be my shliach, my proxy to declare this to the bezin." And the bezin will say mutter law, mutter lachem. If you do it for both at the same time, mutter lachem, and that's sufficient. The concept of being mamana shliach only works from a wife to a husband. It doesn't work from a father daughter to a father. So a woman who's single does not have that, and she really actually should be going to a bezdin and getting her atara. Okay, on Rosh Hashanah, moving to Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah tkiyah shayfer is not a chiyah on women. Mikra din is not a chiyah on women. There is a minig that women come, and there's some poskim say that nowadays it's become such a strongly established minig that it gets the power like a netter that you'd be mechuyah to do that. Keep doing that. The chiyuv is to hear 30 karlus. If the situation where the man who's blowing is being yertzah also, he would make the bracha and be moitzah the women. If he's already yertzah or he doesn't want to be yertzah right now, so for an Ashkenazis woman, so she can make a bracha and be moitzah herself and other people also. At Mikra, then actually the woman, the love of the woman, could blow shofar for another woman. So, But it's discouraged in Allah, then that woman needs to, she can blow shofar for herself if she's good at it. You should learn the halachas beforehand. If you have any questions, give me a call. I'd like to meet you. A woman who's a Sfaradiyah does not make a bracha on tkiyah shofar, or follows minig of her husband's a Sfaradi, so they follow that minig. Could a woman eat before tkiyah shofar? So there's a halacha, the man can't eat before tkiyah shofar. Once you've davened shacharis, there's a halacha of kiddush, obviously, even with kiddush, you're allowed to eat before tkiyah shofar. So a man is not supposed to eat before tkiyah shofar unless he makes some type of a reminder, a shliach, etc. beforehand. And even that is questionable. I mean, by the yeshivas is to yes, do so. So one would have the same issue. I mean, well, now, but she's not mechuyav in the mitzvah. So really she could eat beforehand. If she felt weak, she could eat beforehand. Otherwise, preferable if a woman didn't do that. Tefillah. So we've discussed halacha of tefillah beforehand. So the Mishnah Berurah passes a woman is chayiv in tefillah of shachris and mincha, not of marv. a situation where women can't do that. We spoke about the shir last time. A woman does some basic tefillah, where you have the elements of tefillah. Three elements of tefillah are that there's a praise of Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a bakasha, and there's a thanks at the end. That's the basic tefillah according to the Rambam. So a woman can get yotze with that. A scenario where she can't daven Shemoneh Esrei, she has a little bit of time, she should daven Shemoneh Esrei first. She has more time, she should add on Birchas Kriya Shema afterwards. So we discussed, we went through that, gave a share on that already. What about Musaf? So generally on Shabbos, the Ikar Minhag is a woman are not chayav in Musaf. It's Mechloek is an Halacha whether women are chayav in Musaf or not. The Ikar Pesach is, at least for Ashkenazim, is that the women are not chayav in Musaf. Rosh Hashanah, however, there's two tshuvas about Rosh Hashanah, the Musaf Rosh Hashanah, which is Ikar, the logic behind why come women chayav in Tefillah? Tefillah is a time bound mitzvah, because the main purpose of tefillah is we need the daven to Hashem for rachamim. Everybody needs rachamim. Women also need rachamim, right? Musaf is not the main purpose. Is to talk about the korban, which is a time bound concept. So women are not chayiv in that. Rosh Hashanah's musaf is much more than just talking about the korban. It's much more about the idea of the malchus of Kadosh Baruch Hu and the need for rachamim the Klal Yisrael has. So women need it also. So there's a tshuva from the Irish tshuva, which was one of the mishpacha of the Chassam Sofer, and from Rav Yosef, both have a tshuva about this, and they both say women are chayiv to daven musaf. So you have your Ashkenazi psak, your Sephardi psak. You have they both say that you're chayiv in the tefillah of musaf. Similarly, they both say you're chayiv in ne'ilah. If the whole purpose of tefillah is rachamim, there's no tefillah about rachamim greater than the tefillah of ne'ilah. That's Rav Yosef's Shlita's language. Again, this is all talking about a woman is able to. You have little children, you're not able to do that. So we spoke about your tefillah with something more minimal. Women, it's not chayav mikra than a tashlich. There's a minute women do it, but for whatever reason, women find it difficult to go for tashlich, so women is not chayav in tashlich. I do want to point out that tashlich does not have to be said on Rosh Hashanah. Tashlich can be said starting in Rosh Hashanah and can be said all the way till Hoshana Rabbah. So, some point in time, person, you can take an outing to the park and go to the Northwest Ranch over there and take the kids and say tashuk. And the main tashuk is not so long. You know, there's all these extra tefillahs. The main tashuk is two or three paragraphs, not very long. Yom Kippur. So, is a woman chayiv on the mitzvah of eating at Erev Yom Kippur? So, the Ikar Pesach is yes. Woman is the same way man is a mitzvah to eat every Yom Kippur. Woman does. Interesting question. The woman, whoever reason, not fasting in Yom Kippur, but she's a situation where she can't fast. So she's not chayiv in the mitzvah of eating Yom Kippur in that situation. There is a mitzvah of vidui. The Chinuch says very clearly the mitzvah of vidui applies to men and women equally. We all do averus, and we all have to say vidui. So the mitzvah of vidui applies to men and women equally. Vidui has to be said standing. So a person has to be aware of that. You're saying vidui, a person should be standing when they say vidui. Standing means that you're not leaning to the extent that if the support would be removed, you'd fall. So a person's like leaning like this, that's not called standing. Chazal came along and said that whatever reason, the Satan really is not excited about saying vidui and kippur, because that's going to get to, we're going to get our kapara. So it comes and he's makatri the last moment before Yom Kippur. So by soon as Mafsek, as Chazal said, there's a chashash, the Satan's going to try and make sure that we die. We're going to, Chassam person is going to choke on a piece of food and not make it to Yom Kippur. So Chazal said, you know what? We should say vidui before as soon as Mafsekis. And then this way, at least we got one vidui in beforehand. So if we do, Chassam Shalom, we have to go. We go at least with a vidui. And that's why you say vidui by Mincha of Yom Kippur. A woman should say that before as soon as Mafsekis. Because the point of that vidui is to be said before as soon as Mafsekis, not afterwards. So before the Suda, the second Suda, if you eat two Sudas, the second Suda. There is a mitzvah to sefes Yom Kippurim, which is a mitzvah deraisa that we add on to Yom Kippur. So a person should not go down to the wire. That's very clear in general. A person should not go to the wire, but specifically by Yom Kippur, a person should some time beforehand. So you light neiris, you should, you know, you're earlier beforehand, you'd be makabel Yom Kippur. Now, most women, I think, make their shechiyonu when they light the neiris. You've heard somewhere along the lines that they're making a tanai. You know, you makabel, you light the neiris, you make a tanai, you're not being makabel. So Yom Kippur is very common. People want to light neiris at home. They get in the car and drive to shul. So they want to make a tanai. You cannot say Shechiyonu and make it tonight. You can't say Shechiyonu, Vigiyonu, Lazman Azeh, we're here. We're not here yet. One second, I'm making it tonight. Well, are you here or not? Where are you? So you can't say Shechiyonu if a person's going to be making it tonight, right, lighting the neighbors, going to the shul, you just make a bracha of L'Hadig Ner Shem Kippurim. And you go to the shul, and when they make the bracha of Shechiyonu in shul, by Kol Nidre, the woman should say it also. If she said it already, you don't say it twice, obviously. But if a person is going to be lighting neiris and be making a tanai, they should make sure that they don't say Shechiyonu then. They make the Shechiyonu, and if you say Shechiyonu, she should not be making a tanai. So it goes both ways. In that situation, so you weren't Mekabel Yom Tif, Yom Kippur, you weren't Mekabel Yom Kippur with your halakha, because you made it tonight. You should be Mekabel as soon as you get to Shul. No, don't wait. Speak out that I'm Mekabel the day of Yom Kippur with all of the Nuyim involved in Yom Kippur. Touching food. There's a Mat Ephraim. Mat Ephraim says there's a minute of giving the children bracha every Yom Kippur. Mat Ephraim says it applies to the father and the mother equally. The mother should be giving the bracha also, not just the father. It says the minute is the mother also gives the bracha. So, get a chance to give your kids a bracha every Yom Kippur, going into Yom Kippur. Touching food, it's a halacha whether it's issur to touch food on Yom Kippur. So it's brought down, it's preferable not to, but obviously it's mutter for a parent to give food to a child, prepare food for a child. Even if the child can do get it themselves, once you're giving it to them for the child's purpose, you're a little baby, obviously, but you're talking about a little bit older kids, can I have a cookie? You're allowed to give them the cookies, and take it yourself, You're allowed to give them the cookie, that's not a problem. Okay, if I don't know, wherever you're davening, if you're davening, a situation where a person's there for Nila, in shul, so they hear Avdol, etc. The person's at home, waiting for their husband to come home. So till davening is over, and they get out, it's quite late, you haven't eaten, so you want to eat something. So, Avdol, woman wants to make Avdol. So two points. First of all, you're allowed to drink water without making Avdol. This is in the gay every Motzei Shabbos. You can't eat or drink anything until you make Avdol. But water is permitted. That's a fair of Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim and Reish Sadites, that no food, no drink except for water. Water is permitted before Havdalah. So Matzi Yom Kippur also, if a person's thirsty and they want to take drinks, even though they haven't made Havdalah, that'd be permitted. But Rosham Zalman says you should say Baruch HaMavdil Mikadosh Shachol first, at least say Baruch HaMavdil, and the same way you do Malacha, then you could take a drink of water. If you feel you need something more substantial, now can women make their own havdalah? So this is it's a known machlokus. The main psak is, and you can rely on this, is women may make their own havdalah. So a situation where a husband is being misacher to get back, women can make their own havdalah. That bracha of ner is very questionable. So the right thing to do is, in that situation, a woman would make Brei Pri HaGafen, and the bracha of hamavdil mikadosh shachol, not make the bracha of ner. When the husband comes home, he'll be married to his wife in the bracha of Ner. So you can split up the bracha of Ner and Havdalah. Again, it's not preferred the chachilah. We do both together, so there's no need. You're not really, but the person feels very, they're weak, they're tired, they want to eat something, really, it's hard for them to wait. So they'd be allowed to do that, allowed to rely on that. Okay, I think that's the points I wanted to cover. There's some basic interesting halachas over here. Okay. Ladies, thank you for coming. We should be zeichet to a ksiva, a ksiva tova, a good, benched yor, Bez Hashem, for us and for all of Klal Yisrael.